This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Egger.
I'm Jonathan Aul.
And I'm Jasmine Creighton.
Radio and television coverage of courtrooms will continue in Illinois. The Illinois Supreme Court last week announced it's satisfied with a four-year test of electronic media coverage. Cameras and microphones are allowed in 15 of the state's 24 jurisdictions, and Chief Justice Rita Garman says she expects it will eventually grow statewide. So we're all in the Illinois News Broadcasters Association, a group that's been fighting for this for years. We finally got coverage on an experimental basis, and now it looks like we're going to go full bore with this. Using that 20th century technology in the 21st century, we're finally feeling safe with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it enhances transparency to have cameras and microphones in the courtroom, and that's really what journalists are wanting in the state.
You know, I have to fess up to something. A long time ago, almost 15 years ago or so, I was the vice president of INBA, and I was the lone voice in the organization that advocated against pushing for cameras and microphones in the courtroom, not because I didn't think it was a good idea, but because, quite frankly, I thought broadcasters hadn't earned the privilege. You know, at the time, there were cameras and microphones allowed at the appellate court level and at the Supreme Court, yet no journalists, or very rarely ever did any journalists cover anything at the appellate or the Supreme Court level using the opportunity that they had available to them. And my argument was, how can we possibly make the case to have these instruments in the trial courts when we don't use them at the level that has arguably a bigger impact on public policy and everyday lives at the appellate level and the Supreme Court level? And I got to say, I was wrong, you know, because what we've seen over the last 4 years is that when given the opportunity, the broadcasters were responsible and respectful for it. I still think that broadcasters in the state of Illinois and most other states are ignoring very important issues by not covering their appellate courts and their Supreme Courts. But in hindsight, I have to say that my position at the time was wrong, and now I'm happy that it seems to be that Illinois is joining many other states that accommodates what is really a necessary tool to cover something that's important like the trial courts.
Jasmine, we'll want to mark this date Tuesday, March 1st. Jonathan Aul admitted he was wrong.
Yeah, we're going to write that down.
And you know what? Put it on your calendar for the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th because I'm sure I'll mess up again.
When I worked in Elgin, we had a big court case with the school district. We were not able to use cameras and microphones, in my case, in the trial court. But when it came to the appellate court, we not only covered it, but we broadcast it live. And it was a big case. And, you know, the appellate court, you sort of get into some arguments about what was argued at the circuit court level. So it's difficult sometimes to follow appellate court cases.
Sure.
If you're not familiar with the case. Everyone in the community was familiar with this case because it was a big deal. And so we broadcast that live. And certainly I would agree that 20 years ago, we were not taking advantage of the opportunity to record Supreme Court hearings in Illinois, which were, I think, very important.
Well, and I did a couple of times because I worked for Illinois Public Radio and I was at the State House and the Supreme Court was across the street. It was a lot easier to do. You know, I think it would be a harder argument to have for someone in some other part of the state to drive to Springfield for what could be, you know, numerous days, not knowing exactly when the case is going to be called. But I applaud your station in Elgin for having done that because that's a great use of it. You know, I think it's also important to contextualize it, and that is that when the effort, you know, was really in earnest to try to get cameras and microphones in the Illinois courtrooms, it was right on the heels of the O.J. Simpson trial.
Uh-huh. I do remember, and the naysayers to having cameras and mics in the courtroom will talk about the O.J. Simpson trial and how it became a circus for the TV cameras.
And it did.
Yeah, it definitely did. I remember that case fairly well. That was, I think, the beginning of my interest in news coverage, probably from the O.J. Simpson case. And that is where people are pointing to, and those are the people who say, you know, we don't need cameras and mics in the courtroom.
But I would point right back in the 1960s or early 70s, the Chicago's I don't remember if it was Chicago 7 or Chicago 8 trial, but that became a circus and there were no cameras and microphones. Sometimes a case will become a circus. Mm-hmm. The judge lets the courtroom get out of control. That's not the fault of cameras or microphones. That's a judge not controlling his courtroom. That's my opinion.
That's a good point.
And really, though, I think that there hasn't been anything like the O.J. Simpson trial since then. I mean, nothing even close. And we've had trials of mass murderers. We've had trials of celebrities. But nothing has gotten to that level. And I think that essentially what made this possible in Illinois was time, is that eventually people got it out of their heads that not every trial that was on television or on the radio was going to turn into fodder for late night comedy and the dancing Itos that were on the Jay Leno show and other really things that made a mockery of the justice system at some level. I'm thrilled that it has expanded. It still needs to expand more because not every courtroom in Illinois has it.
15 of 24 judicial circuits have it right now, including Cook County, mm-hmm. which is the biggest court system in Illinois, and that's where you think things could really become a problem, but apparently it has worked there.
Yeah, and I think that there's still a ways to go. I think that the burden is still on the broadcasters to use what is available to them thoughtfully, intelligently, respectfully, and in the context of informing the public and not for the shock value.
And INBA President Laura Trendopoulos, in a statement issued last week after this news came out, made that point that there's ongoing education efforts to make sure that broadcasters handle this responsibly.
Yeah, and I can't help but wonder how this may or may not change the coverage of the Loveless trial in Quincy, mm-hmm. because cameras were not allowed in the courtroom, and lots of national TV organizations came out, realized they couldn't bring cameras in the courtroom and had to find different ways to cover that case. Some left. But 48 Hours, I don't know if any of you guys got to watch that episode. They did the Loveless case, and they ended up using a lot of footage of anything else because they couldn't get cameras in the courtroom. And that case is coming up because it was a mistrial, so it'll be, I think, tried again in May.
Well, let's just hope that broadcasters don't just go for the sensational trials, but they also cover things that are of importance to the community.
And if the sound and the video that they use from the trial is more substantial than just trying to get the expression on the face of the person at the moment that the verdict is read, or that they try to get the most sensational portion of testimony, and they actually do a good job of laying out the issues, the case, and how it's adjudicated, then yeah, it can really mean something great for journalism and for the public.
With that, we are out of time for today. Our listeners can join us again next week at this time for more of Shop Talk.